Who is going to win the war of the worldviews? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
I want to talk to you about something that is true and genuine and real, and something that is destroying countless millions of lives every single day. And so many people aren't even aware of it. It's not the war of the worlds, but the war of the world views.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. For today's sobering message about the war that we see played out each day through media, education, and everyday life. It's a war between scripture and culture. It's a war of the world views. Now, while it is obvious to those who have eyes to see, for many, the frog in the kettle syndrome, as we'll call it, has allowed this competition to come out of the shadows and into full battle mode. How do you view the world around you? The answer to that question has a lot of bearing on how you live. And today, Pastor Jeff will lay out the battle lines and the weapons that we should use to defend God's truth found in His holy word. This message is from Pastor Jeff's 9-message series for such a time as this: How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Now, if you miss any of this lesson today or any from the series that we've aired so far, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. Open your Bible now, if you can, to Romans chapter 12. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to explain who is currently winning the war of the worldviews.
It was in 1938, October 30th, 1938, that something very historic happened in our world. Orson Welles took to the radio airwaves on the CBS radio network with a program from H.G. Wells called The War of the Worlds. And Orson Welles presented that story in such a way, with news breaks into the radio broadcast, that people that didn't hear the top of the broadcast, that didn't hear that this was a dramatization, man, they latched on and they listened intently and they said, oh no, Mars has sent aliens to Earth. It is the war of the worlds and we're getting ready to die. Panic set in because of the radio broadcast. Original fake news, if you want to look at it that way, called the War of the Worlds. People got very angry when they found out that it was just a hoax, but it was presented at the top of the broadcast as this is just an adapted play from H.G. Wells. Well, today, I don't want to talk to you about the War of the Worlds. I want to talk to you about something that is much more significant. Not fake news, but real news. Not something that is fabricated, but something that is true and genuine and real, and something that is destroying countless millions of lives every single day. And so many people aren't even aware of it. It's not the war of the worlds, but the war of the world views. The war of the world views, and many people who come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, they don't even know what a worldview is, yet it is a war that is raging in our nation today, indeed in our world today. You say, well, what exactly is a worldview? I hear that sometimes people throw that out about a worldview. What is a worldview? Well, a worldview is simply how you view the world, thus the name worldview, how you view the world. You can define it this way: a worldview is the intellectual and emotional lens through which we experience, interpret, and respond to the world. That's a worldview. And here's the question: how do you view the world? Do you view the world through the lens of Scripture, or do you view the world through the lens of culture? Now, just to make things simple, there is a Christian worldview and there is all the other worldviews. So Christian worldview, secular worldview, or non-Christian worldview. And that's how you can put all the worldviews in two categories, just like you can put all the people in two categories, saved or lost. There is a Christian worldview, and the Christian worldview is based on the Word of God. And the question is, do you view life and do you view the things in this world through the lens of Scripture or through the lens of culture? Romans chapter 12 is a great chapter. He talks doctrine for 11 chapters, and then he goes into practice starting in Romans chapter 12. And he says this in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is." What is the will of God? It's that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the will of God. It is good, it's acceptable, it's well-pleasing, and it's perfect. Well, I want us to see from Romans chapter 12, three truths concerning the war of the worldviews. Truth number one, there is an ongoing war between the world and the Word. Romans 12, 2 makes that clear. There's a war between the world and the Word. Do not be conformed, it says, to this world, to this age. Don't let the age of this world squeeze you into its mold. That word conformed means to fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern in mind or character to the world, to adapt the standards of the age. Don't do that. Now, the world works to conform us to an anti-Christian culture. That's why it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. The world is at work. You say, well, how does the world do that? Well, the world, the Bible says, lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. The whole world lies in the power, lies in the lap of the evil one. The devil is in charge of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. And he uses, as the scripture says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So the devil uses the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, and he uses those to do what? To try and squeeze people into the mold of the world, into the mold of the age, so that you adopt the values of the world around you. Let me tell you something, the values of the world around us, those are anti-Christian values because the devil hates God, he hates Christ, he hates Christianity, and he works hard to try and make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so he is going to try and squeeze people into the mold of believing things that sound good, that sound plausible. As the scripture says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so he makes people believe, well, this is right concerning this subject and that subject and this other subject. The world works to conform us to an anti-Christian culture. But now the Word works to transform us to the image of Christ. Don't be conformed, be transformed. The word transformed is also translated transfigured. When Jesus went up to the unnamed mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured before them. He was transformed. From that word transformed, we get our English word metamorphosis. A change took place. And with Jesus, the change that took place is the deity within came out. And they could see that as he began to shine, they could see what was on the inside. Jesus on the outside looked like a regular guy. But Jesus on the inside was God. He was the fullness of deity in bodily form, Colossians 2:9 tells us. So when he was transfigured, what was on the inside came out. And what the Lord wants to do in every Christian's life, he says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that the Spirit of God, the new man inside of you, would come out and would change the way you think and act and live and speak. That's being filled with the Spirit. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So as the devil works with the world, the Spirit of God works with the Word. And the Spirit of God who lives inside every believer, he takes the Word of God and he teaches us the Word of God and he grows us in the Word of God. And through the Word of God, that's how we are changed, as the Spirit takes the Word and chips away those rough edges in us and helps our minds to start thinking like a Christian. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By spending time in this book. That's how you renew your mind. So, I love the definition that someone gave concerning the Bible. The Bible is God's mind in print. You want to know the mind of God? Spend time in the Word of God, because that's what the Bible is. It's God's mind in print. And as I spend time in the Word, he changes the way I think about things, the way I view things, and I start viewing life through the lens of Scripture, not through the lens of culture. Warren Wiersbe says this: if the world controls your thinking, you're being conformed. But if the Word controls your thinking, you're being transformed. So you ask yourself the question, am I being conformed to this world, or am I being transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the Word of God, as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and changes me? So there's an ongoing war between the world and the Word. Second truth, there is a tragic development in the war of the worldviews. A tragic development. See, many of us don't know much about worldviews, so we don't know what's going on in the issue in the realm of worldviews. But there is a guru in worldviews. His name is George Barna. George Barna is at the forefront of research concerning Americans' beliefs and behaviors. Well, he conducted a nationwide survey, the largest survey that he's ever conducted, in February of 2017 to determine beliefs and behaviors, to determine where we are in America concerning worldviews. Now, he interviewed 6,000 people, surveyed 6,000 people, asked them 20 questions about the Bible and what they believe about the Bible, and then 20 questions about behavior. So, you know, if you say you believe the Bible is the Word of God, then he asks you a question, okay, if the Bible is important, it's the Word of God, do you read the Bible? How often do you read the Bible? If you say the Bible's important and you read the Bible once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, then he would say, you don't really believe that. Because as Peter Lord once said, what we really believe, we practice. All the rest is just religious talk. Hey, you do what you really believe. And if you don't do it, it's because you don't really believe it. And if you think that the Bible is your spiritual food, it's milk, it's meat, it's bread, if you really believe that, you spend time in this book. If you don't really believe it, you don't. And that's the proof. You say, oh, no, I do believe it. Then why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? If we believe that Jesus is really the only way to get to heaven, and we really believe that, then why aren't we sharing that more with people? Because we see people all day long. We rub shoulders with people all day long, and they're on the highway to hell. And shouldn't love compel us to say, I need to talk to that person. I need to pray for that person. I need to share with that person. So he looked at belief, he looked at behavior, and then he puts them together for an integrated score to see, what do you really believe? This is what he found. 6,000 people. 1,000 of them were young adults, 18 to 30. 4,000 of them were spiritually active Christians who were also active in the governmental process in America. They were self-identified as spiritually active people. And then 500 theologically conservative. Self-identified theologically conservative people. This is what he found. 10% of all Americans have a biblical worldview. Only 10%. 90% do not. That's a huge percentage. 90% of all Americans don't have a biblical worldview. Only 10% do. 25% of theological conservatives have a biblical worldview. Isn't that amazing? Only 25% of those who say they are theologically conservative, only 25% of those people really have a biblical worldview. Their belief and their behavior match up. 16% of people, 50 and older, have a biblical worldview. Just 16%. And this is the kicker of all. 4% of people between 18 to 30 have a biblical worldview. 4%. What does that tell you? The older people, 16% of them, have a biblical worldview. They believe the Bible and they practice the Bible. And then as you go down to the younger crowd, only 4% do that. 96% of young adults aged 18 to 30 don't believe the Bible, don't practice the Bible. 96%. I find it interesting that we read in Judges chapter 2 about Joshua. It says, "Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord," he took over after Moses, "he died at the age of 110. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel." Another generation, they didn't know the Lord. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people of Joshua's generation said, "We will serve the Lord too." And the people that came after Joshua, they began to serve the false gods of the Canaanites and the people who dwelt around them. That's kind of where we are today in America, when young people ages 18 to 30, only 4% have a biblical worldview. A tragic development in the war of worldviews. We're losing the war. But then truth number three, there's a call to all Christians to stand up for Jesus. We sing that song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And we are soldiers. And Paul told Timothy in the last letter he ever wrote, "Suffer hardship with me, Timothy, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." We need to understand that we're soldiers and we're in a battle, and it's a battle for people's minds. Because if you believe the wrong thing in your mind, you will do the wrong thing. And there's a battle going on. Are we going to be conformed or are we going to be transformed? Three questions all of us must answer. Number one, do we really believe the Bible is the Word of God? What we really believe we practice, all the rest is just religious talk. You know what many people would say today? Many people who come to church, they'd say, "Well, you know, Jeff, I think the Bible's important. I think the Bible is a really important book." But to say it's the Word of God, to say it's the only book, and the Quran and these other books, aren't those all just equal? No, they're not equal. The Bible is a book unlike any other book. Hey, the scripture says of the scripture that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It says that men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is not man's word. This is God's word. God spoke through men. But this book, as the scripture says of itself, it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's no other book like the Bible. And all these other books that you run into. You say, "Why so many different religions? I just get confused with all these different religions." What does the devil do? He never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And so people add to his word. People have a different book. People say, "Well, it's just as good as the Bible." Baloney. There's no other book like the Bible. Do we really believe it? And second question, are we really serious about living out the Word of God? Because what we really believe, we practice. All the rest is just religious talk. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Well, how do I really worship the Lord? Do I come to a worship service and sing the songs and say I've worshiped? Maybe you worshiped, maybe you didn't. Hey, what is true worship? True worship is you receive the mercies of God. You reflect on the mercies of God. You're blown away by the mercies of God. And in response to God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, you offer your body every single day as a living sacrifice. You put yourself on the altar, as the song would say, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest when you give him your body and soul. And so to live the Christian life, I have to offer myself as a living sacrifice, and I take what the Word of God says and I do it. Jesus said, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. The blessing is not in the knowing. The blessing is in the doing. And then question number three, so critical. Are we really serious about passing on the faith to our kids? We're not doing a very good job with passing on the faith to our kids. We're not doing a very good job passing on the faith to the next generation. How do I know that? Because 4% of young people between 18 and 30 have a biblical worldview. 4%. 96% don't. We're not doing a very good job. From 16% of 50 and over to 4%. We're losing the war of the worldviews. And kids today are bombarded with messages that squeeze them into the mold of the world. Hey, here's the bottom line, moms and dads. If we're not living it out, our kids are watching and they're saying, well, there's nothing to this Christianity stuff. You're just a bunch of hypocrites, those who espouse Christianity. You say you believe this book, but you don't really practice this book. So all I can figure is you don't really believe the book. We're doing a terrible job with the next generation. In our house, we're supposed to share the word. We're supposed to live the word. We're supposed to teach our kids so that we can reprogram them from the bombardment of school and government and media and entertainment so they know what's true and what's right. In the war of the worldviews, heaven and hell hang in the balance. We have a big job. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and this has surely been an important admonition to believers everywhere to stand up for Jesus and be on the lookout for unbiblical worldviews creeping up in our families and churches. Today's message was called The War of the Worldviews. It was edited for time, but is part of a much larger 9-message series entitled For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Pastor Jeff preached this series recently because, like all of us, he's concerned about the turmoil that is erupting around us, and he has some additional thoughts on what we can do about it. Pastor?
Thanks, Larry. You know, if you've been listening to From His Heart for very long, then you likely have a heart like mine, a heart that desires to share the truth of the gospel with a lost and dying world. Our world is filled with hurting, lost people. You know, most people, if they're being totally honest, they would say that they're worried about the future, and they have stresses in family and marriage and finances and the things going on politically in our world, and they need peace. And the world is in so much chaos today, and it's your ongoing support that is needed more than ever. And so with your help, we can speak the truth in love to this anxious, desperate world, and we can tell them about the peace that is only found in Jesus. Now, remember, I receive no income from this ministry, so thanks for supporting From His Heart. I really appreciate it.
Well, the series For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light, will inspire you to be a bold witness for Christ and get you properly prepared to be in the battle in this war of the worldviews. It's our special thank you gift for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. It's available on CD, MP3 download, or as a USB flash drive. You can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for listening today, and we trust that you'll join us tomorrow for the last lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, For Such a Time as This, when we'll learn exactly how to put our faith into action. Join us on Tuesday for the lesson that will teach us how to take our faith from paper to practice, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.